You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm liking this vibe on a Friday. Getting us into the next guest. Welcome back to BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Joe Ostrowski, Aaron Hawksworth with you, and joining us now, Reed Wallach. And Reed, we have to start with your reactions to the NFL draft. I actually didn't have a huge problem with the Falcons drafting Michael Penix because Kirk Cousins is getting older. He's coming off a torn Achilles. What if he doesn't pan out? What if it ends up being like an Aaron Rodgers situation and he's out immediately right when the season starts? So not a big issue with it, but I'm curious your takeaways from last night.
Yeah, I feel like everyone needs to start with Michael Penix going 8 to the Falcons. I would venture to say it's one of the worst draft picks I've ever seen when you take the full scope of what happened. Not necessarily Michael Penix the player. He might turn out to be a really good quarterback. There's no slight on him, but this is a guy off two serious knee injuries before. He might not take his first snap as a quarterback until he's 26, 27 years old because you signed Kirk Cousins to a seven-figure, $100 million deal this offseason. I can't see the rationale of spending a top 10 pick on a guy that, if he's playing, something went terribly wrong with your team and its roster construction. So I just can't get behind it. I mean, maybe it sounded like reports after teams were trying to move up for Penix, and maybe that's why the Falcons felt the need to stay and take him at 8. But to me, this is just like a absolute catastrophe of draft capital and asset allocation. So I am personally like very off this pick for the Falcons, and I think you saw the reverberations down the board where some teams got like Dallas Turner falling into the teens and the Vikings train up and getting him. I think the Vikings are one of the big winners of this draft. There were definitely some, that was a big inflection point, and the same for the Bo Nix pick with the Broncos.
Would you make that same statement about Atlanta's pick if they would have gone McCarthy or Nix? Because you don't have the injury history. You don't have someone turning 29 when the rookie contract is over. So some of that stuff that you talked about is not a part of the equation.
Yeah, I would say if it was one of the more raw prospects, I know McCarthy, there were rumors like maybe he's not as ready. Jake May, people were saying he might need a year to develop. I don't necessarily agree with that. But if that's the path, sure. Like if you sign Kirk Cousins to like a one-year deal or two-year deal this offseason, I would probably feel a little bit differently about this because it's more of a short-term plan. But I mean, you sign Kirk Cousins to this big deal. The expectation was like, we're trying to compete right now. Like you didn't want to try and like shore up your pass rush with an edge rusher or like maybe like bolster the offensive line or move back and allocate some assets. Like I don't really see the process there. And I get like if you like your guy, you take your guy, but then why'd you sign Kirk Cousins? Because they had this pick for a while. They knew when they signed Kirk Cousins they were picking 8, and I imagine they had some infatuation with Michael Penix Jr. So just really strange. And then you saw the reports, he didn't know, just like bizarre outcome there for the Falcons. But like, I hope Michael Penix turns out great, because it would be like hilarious, this story. But I don't know, very strange to me.
It really would in terms of like Kirk's career too, because he just never got any respect here in Washington, and to have this happen's got to feel like deja vu for that guy. So if you were focused on the NFL draft, you may have woken up this morning a little bit shocked that the Orlando Magic down 2-0 have a bit of life. They beat the Cavs by, wait for it, 38 points last night. Reed, what's going on? They had some energy. They're making shots.
Yeah, the Amway Center, I believe it's called, was rocking last night. Paolo Banchero has his first big playoff moment. I don't think the Magic are going to win this series, but I'm not surprised that they put together a little bit more of a competent effort at home. To me, the reason why they won't win this series is because they desperately lack a guard, someone who could really set the table. It's really a lot on Banchero and Franz Wagner to really create him. Banchero's usage rate is sky high. His turnover rate is super up because he's tasked with facilitating against a top 10 defense. So I don't think the Magic are necessarily back in the series. I probably lean towards the Cavs in game four. This was kind of like two really, really bad games of Magic shooting. Now, you know, you have some regression and you get your big shooting effort. I do think like the Magic going forward, like after the season, like if they could go get, like if Mitchell wants out, if they want to keep Mitchell and Garland wants to stay, like other sideline, like one of the two of those guys could really help the Magic fill exactly what they need. And that's what they desperately lack in the series. And, you know, I expect the Cavs probably shake it off. I haven't seen a game two market, but I imagine it's a similar one, like pick them, you know, inside of a bucket. Like I probably lean towards the Cavs in game four.
Game threes are so interesting because you're changing venues and you don't want to overreact too much to what you saw in the first two games. So last night, for instance, you had teams going home and they got right. And we talked about with Orlando and Philadelphia. But on the flip side, you have Denver going on the road and they go up 3-0. We know that's going to be a very short series at the LA Lakers. So tonight, little bit of a different story, couple series tied 1-1. But let me ask you about the last one of the night. You've got Minnesota up 2-0. Now they're going on the road to Phoenix. Is this the spot where Phoenix puts up a fight? Phoenix, a 4.5-point favorite, lowest total 207 and the hook. Or do you see the T-Wolves kind of like the Nuggets going up 3-0?
I'm not really sure what to make of this series because, as you guys know, I've said on the show many a times, I'm not a believer in the Suns. But when they drew the Timberwolves, who they kind of owned in the regular season, swept, won by double digits in all three games, I was like, I can't. This isn't the matchup I want to fade the Suns. I kind of like this is maybe they just have them figured out. But what I underrated from my time watching Kevin Durant as a Nets fan was he really struggles with physicality and wings that are going to, you know, push him around. And, you know, he's getting up there in age and he just can't handle some of the bigger athletes anymore. And you're seeing Jaden McDaniels really give some problems and Anthony Edwards give some problems. So maybe the Timberwolves have him figured out. Grayson Allen injured as well. I think I'm going to stay away. It would be T-Wolves or pass. What I do think might be my look, I might take the over in this game. And we saw when the series flipped, we've seen the, you know, unders early in the first two games. Now that the series is shifting, maybe over starting to round to form. I believe all three hit last night. The third one pushed in the Nuggets game. But I think the Suns are going to want to play faster. They have to pick this tempo up. This totals down like 6 points from the first two games. Maybe the Suns figure out some offensive looks and they try to just really run this game out. But I do think that the Suns are fundamentally flawed. They don't have the depth and the counters to come back in the series. So I like Minnesota long-term. I don't know if I'm going to be on them tonight over kind of my initial feel.
What do you like for tonight out of the three games? Are there specific bets or props that you have your eye on?
Yeah, I like the Pacers tonight and I like Tyrese Haliburton props. I think we saw in the first half of game one, the Pacers looked like a team that was incredibly rattled. It was their first time in the playoffs. They missed assignments. Guys were on Milwaukee, were just hanging around the rim wide open, like easy passes. It wasn't even like, and obviously Lillard scores 35. But I think the Pacers settled in that second half. They make a little bit of a run. And then game two, they kind of wire to wire smoke them. It seems like Giannis isn't that close to coming back. I would, you know, people were hoping game three. Seems like closer to game five and maybe next round if they even make it there. I like the Pacers before the series. I think they figured him out. And you saw Haliburton in game one struggle. I believe only 8 points, eight assists, something in that neighborhood. Settles in last game. And I wonder if a guy in his first playoff series, the Pat Bev treatment was good early, but like it starts to diminish as it goes on. And Haliburton kind of figures him out and gets a little bit more comfortable in this role in the postseason. So I am coming back to Indiana. I had the Pacers dictate the terms. I honestly think this game could get a lopsided quickly. So I like Indiana quite a bit in this one. I know it's 5.5, but I do think you could see something similar like Philadelphia last night, where big avalanche in the third, fourth quarter, and they put them away. And Milwaukee's like, all right, let's try and get this in game four and take back home court.
All right, we get to Clippers, Mavs. People overreacting after game one. Clippers steal it. I don't think anybody expected to see Kawhi in game two. We did. It was not a good version of Kawhi, but the Mavs end up splitting, and now they're going home. So it's a spot they were probably hoping for. They're 4.5-point favorites, total 211.5. What do you think as far as this evening and the series? Because so much is up in the air. Like, okay, now Kawhi's played. They say uncertain status for tonight, but is he going to improve as the series moves along? That's the tough part.
Yeah, this is a series I was on the sidelines early. Like, I didn't take any of this pre-flop because, I mean, you have injury questions everywhere with Kawhi, so I wasn't super interested in betting it. I'm still not super interested in betting it. Part of me wants the Mavs to win tonight so I could bet the Clippers at, like, a bigger number to win the series and maybe, like, win game four and then come back and, like, they host game seven and I'll figure it out there. Mm. I think these two teams are really similarly matched. You got big role effort in game one from the Clippers, and then you get a big role player effort in game two from the Mavericks. So where does it go? Series shifting. This seems like a lot of points, though. It just seems like these two teams are destined to play tight games. So I know it's not necessarily the most compelling analysis. There's so many questions in this series. I'm not like interested in making a bet.
Man, we saw the Heat just torch the Celtics with those 23 threes, and everyone's like, see, the Heat culture is real. Now, tomorrow night, Heat 9.5-point dogs. What are you expecting in this matchup?
I mean, the Heat shot over 50% from three. I don't know what it is with this Heat team and the Celtics, but they just find a way to make it interesting. So we'll see. I think it has to be Heat or pass. Like, you can't trust the Celtics team laying a big number. They're so much better. But I will say, the Celtics, they run on three-point variance, and it seems like the Heat are leaning into that even more now on the other side. But the Celtics, they're in the top five in three-point attempts per game. The Heat will let you shoot them, but they're a top five three-point defense. They're super disciplined. And maybe Celtics come out and smoke them, but laying double digits on the road, I don't know. I'm not interested in betting that. I'd much rather take the points from Miami, but I'm probably going to stay on the sidelines on this one as well. Just this series, I don't have a good feel for. I will say, if you're looking from a prop angle, I would target Heat players over threes, or Caleb Martin's, your Duncan Robinson's, if he gets more healthy, Nikola Jovic. They're bombing threes. Spo made the adjustment. He said after game one, listen, if we want to win, we got to win the three-point variance battle. So the Heat went all the way into that one. If that's going to keep up, I like Miami to, their role players to keep shooting threes. So at least you have the volume on your side to go above expectation. And at home, maybe you hit a few. So I like role player on Miami overs on threes.
Of the other three games on Saturday, all very short numbers. You've got Orlando minus 2.5 at home, trying to tie that series up against the Cavs. You've got OKC with an opportunity to go up 3-0 in the series, a 1.5-point road favorite against New Orleans. And then the Denver Nuggets trying to finish off the sweep, 2.5-point favorite at the Lakers. Man, have these totals reacted. You mentioned in some of your analysis of the other games, wow, these are so short. It's getting to the point where are we going to go under 200 on multiple series here?
Yeah, I've been playing the under on Magic Cavs. That's been my look. Obviously, got burned last night on it. What I have noticed, though, market-wise, someone's coming in and betting the over on game day leading up to tips. So if you're going to bet the under, which I'm probably going to go back to the well because 2 of 3, I still believe in it. The Magic had a crazy shooting night. I'm probably going to wait and bet the under closer to tip, like noon Eastern on Saturday. I think the Nuggets have the Lakers covered. I just think if this game is going to be tight late, like the Lakers could start hot. They don't have 48 minutes against the Nuggets. So I think that's a sweep. I saw a quote from LeBron after, like, it's just basketball, like, you know, just a game, like it's fine, like, you know, like whatever. Like, to me, this team sounds very 1-2-3 Cancun-y. So I'll probably be on the Nuggets. I've been betting Nuggets. I bet them before the series. I bet them -1.5 games. I didn't see the love for the Lakers in the series, and it's being proven because they don't have the 48 minute type of output to hold up against the Nuggets. So I think the Nuggets take care of business on Saturday night.
Kind of feels like Darvin Ham's getting dragged a little bit too in this series for some of his decisions. So when the playoffs started, it kind of felt like it was going to be chalky with the Celtics and the Nuggets in the finals. Are you still feeling that way, even though the Heat are showing some life now, or could there be some value in the futures market or even MVP?
Yeah, I have Nuggets futures from before the season. I've kind of tied Nuggets to a few other futures like UConn. I kind of pulled the ripcord there as things were progressing that way. So I'm in on the Nuggets, and I believe that they are the best team and they're ultimately going to win it all. I will say, I believe the toughest opponent for the Nuggets when it's all said and done will be the Minnesota Timberwolves in the next round if that series comes together. I think that the Timberwolves have the size. They have the guy in Anthony Edwards that I think can rise to the occasion. I don't know if maybe it's a year too early, but I think Minnesota can give them a tough series. On the other side of the bracket, I don't really fancy any of the other three teams because we won't count the Pelicans. And then in a series against Boston, just give me Denver. So Boston may not be as clean as we thought, but in the East, I don't really think any team is probably going to beat Boston in a seven-game series. I don't think Philly would be my pick, but I don't know if they're healthy enough, nor can they get out of the series. New York, I'm not as interested. So I still think it's probably a Denver-Boston collision course, and Denver goes back-to-back.
Yeah, it does seem that way. Reid Wallach, have an amazing weekend. Thank you so much for your insight. This is BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Up next, you know, we love some futures on the show, and it is never too early to look at the NFL Rookie of the Year markets. We do that next here on the BetQL Network.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I was waiting for the beat to drop. Wasn't sure which direction we were going here with this banger. Welcome back to BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Joe Ostrowski, Aaron Hawksworth with you. David Dykstra on the ones and twos. Oh, we love futures on the show. We do. Yes. We always talk about futures. Joe Ostrowski is one of the best. Got to tip my cap to him. He's taught me a lot about the futures market. But we got to talk about the offensive and defensive rookies of the year right on the heels of the NFL draft last night. So this is interesting. Per Brandon Anderson, for defensive rookie of the year, Four of the last five winners started the year at 7-1 or shorter. So maybe you also want to look for a pass rusher with seven of the last 10 winners recording 7 sacks. Truth or trend, Joe? You rocking with this? Taking this into consideration this morning?
Yeah, I think the defensive rookie of the year is more predictable. The offensive, I think we'll spend most of our time talking about that. That's more exciting. How about another one? Four of the last five have been edge rushers. Truth or trend? Well, they make more of an impact. It's harder if you're playing in the secondary. It's more difficult if you're an off-the-ball linebacker to make that sort of an impact. If you're playing the interior part of the defensive line. So I think that makes sense. I think it's truth. And for the voters, you need to be an established name out there. You don't see defensive players come out of nowhere, super long shot on the boards as far as odds go, and then they end up winning the award. So I would say truth on that we don't have to stray far from the top of the board. My question is, do you need team success on any level? Because if you look at last year's winner, Will Anderson, you did see team success and how that run that he made at the very end, and he was a big part of it. I know Stroud got all the credit, but Will Anderson also huge. By the way, last 2 years, same team, offensive and defensive rookie of the year. Last year was the Texans. 2 years ago, it was the Jets with Sauce and Garrett Wilson. I do think you need some team success on the defensive side to win this award. So I don't think you can be part of an awful defense and win it. So Turner is the favorite at plus 450. There's a little bit of value there. For that to be the shortest number, the odds makers are kind of telling us, well, we think he has the best chance. Many people had him as the best defensive player on the draft board. He's going to a good situation, but we're not quite sure. There's Latu over with the Colts, an edge guy. Verse is up there. I can't sit here and say, Aaron, that there's a play that I love. The Vikings will have an opportunity in the NFC North, but yeah, there are injury questions on multiple players as well. I know I just said it's tough to win out of the secondary, but there's going to be an opportunity for Arnold with the Lions to win it at 10-1.
I thought that too, but what about Mitchell with the Eagles and that defense? I know they took a little step back last year, but could he garner some attention in this market?
Well, they took about 8 steps back. I mean, the defense was picked all season long. So if they are average, they will point to him and say that the secondary is better, big reason. And you do have that East Coast bias. You know, the Eagles are very popular, so that could help. Big media market. Sure, compared to Minnesota, compared to Indianapolis. I know it's a large media market, but the Rams are not the most popular team. Verse is up there. So, yeah, if you want to follow that, that's interesting. Chop Robinson goes to Miami. We didn't get to the Dolphins pick, but I don't understand it. Aren't they in a position where we just need offensive linemen? I know we want to take the best player available, but let's just go get offensive linemen. I didn't love the pick, but the player has the talent to make an impact on a very popular team. So that's an interesting number. I can't sit here and say, Aaron, that there's a defensive player that I would put money down right now. But history tells us you don't have to stray. You don't have to look at the second or third round picks. It's going to be a first rounder. It's going to be on a team that probably has a good year.
Paul's put some money down already on someone.
Who you got, Paul?
I did not place the actual bet, but it would be Dallas Turner. It would be Dallas Turner, yeah. I think. It's the Will Anderson corollary. And then, look, the defense has to be good. You got Brian Flores there, which I think definitely helps. And, I mean, Danielle Hunter had an amazing year there. So I think he could, step in and have probably not a similar level of success, but there's at least a path there. If you look at, if the defense is good, you look at the 7-10 Jets with Sauce Gardner. Granted, he was a top five pick, though. So that certainly helps there. True. His name was out there from the jump. The Eagles, I actually kind of like that case for Mitchell. If they bounce back on defense and he and the secondary in particular, You look at this defense, man. They got a lot of young guys under 25. Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Nolan Smith, Dean Mitchell added to that. Ringo, Brown, Blankenship. I mean, how much of that was coaching an issue? There was a lot going on there last year. You're switching coordinators, bringing Matt Patricia. Like, the talent can still be there. I think there's a lot of other things going on. And also their secondary was getting older between Slay and Bradbury, and some injuries at them. So Eagles bounce. I think that's your best case for like the – I think the Eagles will be in the mix for a playoff spot. I'll put it that way, whereas the Vikings will not. So I think that could be – I don't hate that look there. But I'm with you guys. I don't think you got to jump in now. Nah. Lot to – like verse,
but what you said about Sauce being the corner of late, that's one, that's correct. But if you look at the outside the last 5 years, Marshawn Lattimore won, Marcus Peters won in recent years. So yeah, I think there could be an opportunity there. I would probably look to one of those corners, but maybe you find value midseason too.
Right. And the probably the only reason Diggs didn't win is because Michael Parsons was on his team. Like, the dude had like six picks and a couple of pick sixes, and he, you know, he was even getting, you know, some stupid love for a defensive player of the year as a rookie. That was never going to happen, but you do have to pop like that though if you're going to be, you know, and avoid having an all pro on your team.
This is a draft that was viewed as one that doesn't have elite pass rushers. So maybe this is a year you go to a different position, right? So yeah. I could see it. I think there are some cases for some cornerbacks. All right, we got to get to offensive rookie of the year. So my first reaction was six went in the top 12. It's going to be difficult if there are multiple quarterbacks that start the majority of games. It's going to be tough to beat these quarterbacks. And then I looked at it in other years recently where you've had a bunch of quarterbacks taken. 2021, you had five go in the first round. Did any of them win the offensive rookie of the year? No, they did not. 2018, you had five go in the first round. Did any of them win the offensive rookie of the year? That was a Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson year. No, they did not. So it is possible. And if we go over the list, how many are starting from day one? We know Penix is not. Caleb is, Daniels probably is, because I don't think they're going to start the season with Mariota. I think Drake May is going to sit at least a little bit since they decided to bring in Brissett. Bo Nix versus Zach Wilson and Jarrett Stidham. Would it surprise anybody if Bo Nix is starting week one? But I would never bet on him for this award. So a lot of different situations. Of course, J.J. McCarthy up in Minnesota, they brought in Darnold. They still have Mullins. I'm mad because if you're asking me to make a pick, I'm picking Caleb Williams in the perfect situation that he's in all the surrounding pieces, and he's going to start. It's just a matter of being healthy. I'm frustrated because before the draft, he was plus 350. Everybody knew he was going to the Bears. After the draft, they drop it to plus 250, and it's already been bet down to plus 210. 2-1. 2-1. I can't.
Will
bet it
be minus money if he gets off to a hot start? That would be crazy.
Yes, it could absolutely be a Stroud situation where this is over before it begins. Like, it could be over by week three, week four. Marvin. It, like, you get like shades of Larry Fitzgerald and Kyler Murray out there, like if they're putting up highlight reels, something like
he's got
that.
The
like
name
the mix for sure. Yeah,
100%.
He's got the legacy.
Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, at 6-1, but I think also you can wait a little bit on that because I think like people are gonna be looking for excuses to bet Caleb, and so you might even get a little bit of better number. I mean, we do the Rashi Rice thing with Xavier Worthy. I mean. Step in, and it's just, man, Andy and rookies is a weird thing. Like, it's going to be, you don't have to bet it now. I'll say that. They're going to have to work them in sooner rather than later, especially depending on what happens with Rice. But I don't know that you have to bet 16. You'll probably get a better number.
Why are we sleeping on Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury? He's got Terry McLaurin. No?
No.
I mean, if they make a run at the East, I mean, they only trade away their whole defense, so, like, he could, you know, he carries them on offense.
Listen.
By the way.
We haven't even mentioned the quarterback that's in the other good situation. McCarthy.
No.
Justin Jefferson's his wide receiver one. He's got a great play caller. He's in a good position. I wouldn't say it's quite the Bears. Some would argue that it is better than the Bears' position because of the coaching and the elite playmaker on the outside. And Addison more than popped last year.
True.
He was phenomenal.
Good point.
All right. I do this under protest. But do we make the Texans case for Turner and McCarthy? Sneak into like a playoff spot?
I'd rather bet McCarthy than Daniels, and they're both 10-1.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Terry McLaurin is not Justin Jefferson, and the head coaching, the coaching staff is better.
Nope. And we can obviously cross out Adunze because with Caleb there, he has no chance. Of the top receivers, I only see Harrison with the chance. And we've been talking about Harrison for so long that if he's scoring touchdowns, if he's putting up numbers, he could absolutely be in this conversation. Is Caleb beatable? Assuming health, is he beatable?
Yeah. Like, what's the say? Like, the two knocks on him that had me burning money betting anyone but Caleb in the fall was going against Utah and going against Notre Dame, i.e. pro-level talent on defenses, and he stunk. What's to say that doesn't happen? I mean, granted, the offensive line was an issue, but he's a rookie. I think in general, what Stroud did is the – okay, I think in general, what Stroud did is the exception. More like, I'd be surprised if someone takes the league by storm like that again. And a great OC down there, too.
Yep.
And
no May, no Knicks. Penix isn't even going to play. At least that's the expectation. But, you know, we saw Dak Prescott play and win this award. And he was 100-1 that offseason. You don't root for it, but crazy things happen. What if Penix is forced into action early? He's 60-1.
Like, if we're going to go the Dak comp, isn't it Spencer Rattler being what he was supposed to be for someone?
I know. Yeah, that was a long time ago. I feel like he's been in college for 10 years.
True. But, like, he's 100-1. He'll be a later round pick. Like, does he go in somewhere and start?
And no chance for Bowers, right? No chance for the best tight end in the draft by a mile?
No.
Okay.
No, thank you. That sounds like I'd rather light my money on fire.
I wanted to bet Caleb, but I can't at this number. It's way too short.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, honestly, if he runs away with it from the jump, fine. I'm not tying my money up for, 22 weeks on a 2-1.
2-1. No chance. Yeah. No chance.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
If the Bills take a wide receiver, like, you look at him at all?
Yeah, Josh Allen's your quarterback.
Yeah.
That's why you look at KC.
Everyone else is gone. Yeah, it's the same KC thing. Yep.
Yep. Already down to 2-1, Caleb. Ridiculous.
McCarthy, I like, but yeah. Why bet Caleb 2-1 when you could look at some MLB bets for this weekend that are 2-1 and you don't have to tie up your money for like a year? This is BetQL Daily presented by BetMGM. Our MLB bets next on the BetQL Network. Kiss all laughing. David Dykstra knows I love this song.
He does?
I feel like I gotta find a West Coast play. Tie in with the music here as we take a look at the MLB card for the weekend. I like it. You know what I do? I just look at the board. I see Chris Flexen. And I know there's got to be a play there somewhere. Come on, you're laughing because you did it too.
I just knew. All right. What's the number on this?
Anti-White Sox run line.
Minus 140.
What is it? Oh, we only have to lay 1.5 or is it 2.5 today? This god awful.
No, it's 1.5. Yeah. Over 4.5 total runs, minus 130 as well.
It's not a bad look.
6.41 ERA. Is that good?
I will say the Twins like got sweaty with the run line, but they got there. Rays not great.
Yeah. Rays mildly disappointing as they're sitting 500 through 26 games. So there's that. But yeah, and it's not just the flexing part. It's they can't score runs. So that's a problem when you need to win ball games. Sure. And Eflin, big advantage Rays in that matchup. It should be Rays run line. I wouldn't have a problem with it. I just don't like laying that sort of juice on a run line.
Yeah. What's but the first five? It's probably even worse, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, first five result, minus 165. First five run line. Wow, that's crazy. Maybe. Minus 1.5 on the first five run line. Plus 118. Maybe that's the play.
I wouldn't.
No?
I wouldn't say that's stupid. No, I wouldn't say it's a terrible idea.
Even Eflin, with a 3.68 ERA, his advanced metrics, his expected ERA is 2.78, even lower. Yeah. His xFIP, 3.27, even lower. So he's not due for regression. I don't hate that one. I like it. We found it. That's the way I am fading Flexen.
So Musgrove has really good history against Philadelphia, but he has had a very poor start to the season. So I'm a little confused if I want to even attack that game. But Musgrove's history against these Phillies players is really, really strong. They're hitting only 198 against him. So he was a guy that I've considered, is he one that we want to fade on a regular basis? Because typically with San Diego, you're going to get a decent price going against them because they are respected some. But it is Nola on the other side, but you know, maybe even with that strong history, you do go against them a little bit and meeting the Padres. Phillies, it's about a coin toss. Yeah, it's about a coin toss at most spots. So if I have to pick that game, I would take the road team in the Phillies based on Musgrove's start, and I'm backing Nola in that one.
Nola's numbers.
Would you look at like a first five under there? Based on the history, that would be.
I'd be worried about Musgrove.
Yeah.
I would certainly be worried about that part because he's pitched so poor. Where you look at the star power on both sides, like either offense could blow that out of the water.
Would you go first five or full game for Phillies?
Full game. I go full game. I don't mind that.
Dang.
Oh, by the way, I didn't even realize this, and we talked about this on the show, maybe 2 weeks ago with the AL MVP. We bet Gunnar Henderson 100-1. You see his number?
Mm-mm.
It's single digits.
Cut in half?
Single digits.
What?
Yes.
No
way. I think we got
it
just in time. Yep. Oh, Paul didn't bet it.
Wow. Anyone else not bet it?
That look.
Anyone else not bet it?
Thank God I bet it. Oh, man. Yeah, I got the 100 on BetMGM. And then somebody brought it up to me about AL MVP, and I looked at it. I'm like, whoa, Gunnar Henderson's top five.
And you could have seen that coming. I mean, obviously, like,
okay,
twist
that knife.
We did talk about it, and obviously Jake has been pumping this guy's tires for a year
He's carrying water for him all over the place.
Yeah, if you play in Baltimore, God, he loves you.
Yeah. In Baltimore. Except for Jackson Holliday. He's not looking great so far this
season.
How's
that rookie? Is he the 100-1 for rookie of the year yet? Because
did Skeens get called up yet?
Did Dunn get
waiting
called
on
up
Doom.
Because that's going to sell
tickets.
She
had some nice photos on BSO.
Did she?
This morning.
Huh. Interesting. Make podcast equipment more expensive.
Oh, gosh.
That was some of the reaction that Jake got to that on Instagram. For those not in the know. Jackson Holliday, what are we out to? 10-1. That's the biggest number.
So related. Okay, that's not. I can't hit a fastball yet, so maybe we'll wait on that.
No, wait.
It looks like Dunny is calling for him to get called up. So she's ready. She's got her outfit picked out. So
kind of getting sick of her.
Oh, no.
Any day.
Yeah.
Kind of sick of her.
And Jake likes her. So we
I'm out. Hit the bricks.
What am I missing with the Mariners? Emerson Hancock and the Mariners +1.5 on the run line, and it's juiced to -160 against Zach Gallen and the Diamondbacks. What is going on there?
I don't know.
Weird.
I'm not sure.
I don't.
Because we were looking at Gallen as maybe a guy to fade earlier this season, but he's done. He's doing all right.
He's done. I just looked it on FanGraphs. I mean, he's not. He's not.
Well, there was a rumor about him being injured and
being hurt.
That's obviously not the case. Yeah, that's not the case right now. So I don't mind that.
At least not yet.
Michaelis has awesome history against the Mets and against their best players. And the Cardinals are a dog today against the Mets. So that could be worth a consideration. Alonso's done nothing. Marte's done nothing against him. Yeah. I mean, that's the balance, I guess. That's why he's a dog today.
Yeah. I was going to look at McNeil has good history against him, though, right?
Yeah, he's been really
bad. I was looking at. Yeah. 14 at bats.
Yep.
So what's McNeil total bases? That'll be a play. I also like going back to our Orioles. Mullins has really good history against the A's starter, which is Stripling, who, by the way, is like 0-for with a 5.34 ERA. Burns is going. So I was like kind of looking at a way to play the Orioles, but landed on Mullins total bases at plus money.
I think it looks like they're not playing today, or at least it's not on the board. But anyways, the Astros, they got swept again by the Cubs yesterday. Now it's
the
Cubs.
They stink.
They're playing the god-awful Rockies this weekend. Do we have to play Colorado against Houston? Houston's 5-19 5-19, I believe. Right? Last place?
They're not playing today. I do not see them on the board.
Right. This weekend, they've got Colorado.
The Astros are 7-19. Same record as the Rockies.
Okay. So, I mean, you'd imagine that they'd be significant favorites tomorrow.
Yeah.
We might just have to start fading them. Swept by the Cubs, lost 2-3 to Washington, swept by the Braves. They were swept by the Royals already this year, swept by the Yankees to start the season. At some point, do we say it's not the old Astros? Like, this is a fade team?
And they're
not
but
like
scoring runs. Go ahead.
Is there like a way you could bet it, like division? Like what would the bet be futures-wise? Where you could maybe fade that. Exactly.
Are there spots still reopening win totals? Updated win totals?
They should be. I haven't looked there.
See that.
But how low is that number? Like we're at a point, I know you're dealing with a ton of injuries. I get all that. And eventually you should be healthier. But I don't know if it's going to change this year.
-135 to miss the playoffs.
Dang.
Just gonna wake up. Yeah.
Well, the over under, I see it listed at 84.5. No chance are they getting to 85.
Wow.
I'd go under. I think that's a pretty good bet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long season, and we know about the players are missing, but come on, really? They're getting 85? I'm not seeing it.
I don't see how. Yeah.
I got a home run for
some
you.
Let's hear it.
So I had to go back to the Chris Flexen. Well, I'm like, who's hitting a home run? Looked up Randy Arozarena, 2-for-2 with a home run and an RBI in 3 plate appearances against Flexen in his career. +390, not the best, but I like it. I'll be betting on him.
I love a good Randy prop. Also, it was Mountcastle, not Mullins, for that total bases play for the Orioles.
Okay.
Too many M's. Anything else on the board? So the Guardians have been kind of hot. They are, like, get them as a significant dog against the Braves, or do you play their team total over 3.5? Was something I was looking at.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And by the way, the Guardians are the team that the Houston Astros are playing at the start of next week. Maybe I just go against them in Survivor. Too.
Yeah. This is BetQL Daily presented by BetMGM. We have a few NBA playoff games tonight, a few more tomorrow. LeBron James says it's just basketball. We'll dive into that right here on the BetQL Network.